This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. In the great divide between Star Wars and Star Trek, I take no sides. I just found my treasured collection of Star Trek Pez dispensers, limited edition. I'll give them to you if you give $1 million to public radio. Yet I also stood mesmerized in the Smithsonian viewing the T-70 X-Wing full-scale Star Wars movie prop. Vintage Star Wars merchandise is a $500 billion global market.
Welcome to Echo Base Live, the largest vintage Star Wars toy fair in the UK, where people like me come to buy back our childhood memories.
For a summer, me and my friends were just on Tatooine. It was just an amazing, idyllic childhood.
It takes me back to simpler times. Me and my brother loved it. It was the only thing we really connected with.
In 1977, when Star Wars burst onto the big screen with a slew of iconic characters like Luke Skywalker flying to and from planets like Tatooine, it helped launch the modern era of movie merchandising.
Here's the new Star Wars Death Star space station that you put together. Action figures each sold separately.
Those figures and playsets that once sold for a few dollars can now go for prices that seem out of this world. At the centre of the toy fair, in a protective case and specially lit, is the holy grail of Star Wars collecting, a prototype figure of the bounty hunter Boba Fett. It's owned by collector Martin Schofield.
There's probably 120 of these in the world. They didn't release to the public because there was a choking hazard. We'd estimate that's anywhere between £100,000 and £150,000.
That's around $130,000 to $190,000. To understand how we ended up here, take a trip with me back to the 1970s. When Star Wars came out, movie merchandising existed, but nothing like the scale of today. In what turned out to be a lucrative move, the film's director, George Lucas, took a lower fee for the film in order to hold on to the merch rights, effectively the right to put Star Wars on everything from cereal packets to plastic toys. Tim Effler was part of the team at the toy makers Kenner that worked on Star Wars.
There are so many of the elements that made it natural for a toy line. You had these fantastic vehicles, you had villains and heroes that were easy to execute and present in toy form. And the story was really straightforward and easy to follow for the most part.
Now those kids like me, who first played with the toys in the 70s and 80s, are grown men and women, old enough to have the cash to buy back the figures they once played with and discarded.
The older you get, you know, you've paid off your mortgage, your kids have moved out, you've got excess money.
Nick Dykes is a Star Wars specialist at the UK auction house, Vectis.
Demand drives up the prices, so if you've got a few people that are all looking for the same thing, if you've got that thing, you know, you can charge what you want, really, within reason.
Being a Mandalorian is not just learning about how to fight.
The value of Star Wars and its merchandising hasn't been lost on Disney, who now own the franchise. They've been busy producing new films and TV projects, like this trailer for the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian.
This is the way.
These shows are introducing the next generation of fans to the Star Wars universe, the potential vintage collectors of the future. I'm the BBC's Rowan Bridge for Marketplace.